أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، مبير الظالمين، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. First of all, on behalf of myself and my family, I'd like to congratulate you all on the arrival of this beautiful month of Ramadan. And it is with a lot of hope of change and self-development in all of us that this month has arrived. I know that many of you, and myself included, were not very happy with the state of the Ummah right now, whether it's globally or whether it's here in this corner of the globe ourselves. We require a lot of change within us, myself included. And this month of Ramadan is the ultimate platform to do that. Allah has promised us that He has chained away all distractions, He has put away all excuses, and He has opened the doors of His mercy so you can become the muqarribun, you can become those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can be one of those who gain qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this month of ours that started today is the ultimate time for us to self-diagnose ourselves, to think about ourselves. We have faults, we have problems, we have deficiencies. The problem sometimes is we don't diagnose ourselves. We have no idea what's wrong with us, and so we don't go about in fixing ourselves. In reality, this month of Allah is the ultimate month for us to understand, number one, what our deficiencies are. And that stems from this idea of introspection, self-thought, khutsazi, self-building. And these are all topics and themes that should be discussed within you in this beautiful month of Ramadan. Surah Waqi'ah has a beautiful ayat that says, وَصَابِقُونَ صَابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرِّبُونَ. And the reason why Mufassirin said that صَابِقُونَ comes twice is one is صَابِقُونَ فِي الدُّنْيَا and one is صَابِقُونَ فِي the hereafter. Sabiqun means that if there is a race, let's say, for example, and if the person in the very front of the race is leading the pack, he is known as a sabiq. He is known as a person who is a forefronter. He is the one who is in the lead, basically. So when the Surah Waqi'ah says, وَصَابِقُونَ صَابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرِّبُونَ, the ones who are the forefront in terms of this dunya and the akhirat are who? The muqarribun, the ones who have gained the qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so my advice to you, my advice to myself and to my family, is that we have 29 days where Allah has promised us, look, I chained away the shaitan that you fear. That shaitan that you use as a countless excuse, I chained him away. Now you have 29 days. Let's see if you come to me or not. Allah says that if you walk to me, I'll run to you. Allah says if you praise me in private, I'll praise you in public. Allah says that if you call me once, I'll give you 10 times that. This is the ultimate time we have, the ultimate month we have. And given the short time that we have, and tomorrow is the first day of school for some of you, and I know that you want to be in bed at a reasonable time, I just want to say just a few remarks about the Iftidah of the Maha Ramadan. And more specifically, I want to talk a little bit about a very real existence and connection that there exists between the month of Ramadan and our 12th Imam, Imam al-Zamana, Ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. If we believe that he is the hujjah of this earth, and of course we do, then we believe that in every aspect of Allah's kingdom, there is a connection that goes back to him. The month of Ramadan is no different. The very first and very real connection we have is Shab-e Qadr. If we believe that angels descend on the earth during Shab-e Qadr, and we do, Surah Al-Qadr says what? تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ. It's very real. The angels come down on Shab-e Qadr. Now, if we understand this concept of the angels descending down onto earth, we understand that the angels are pure beings. And because they're absolute pure beings, they require a very pure platform to descend onto. Does that make sense? And the only existence that we have right now on this earth that is completely pure is the heart and the qalb and the ruh and the soul of our Prophet Imam. So if we believe that we wish to achieve anything on Shab-e Qadr, it has to be through the heart and the soul of our Prophet Imam. Number one. Because that's where angels are. They're literally physically placed there. And if we believe that angels take what we ask for and go back towards Allah and His kingdom, that ground that is for the angels is the existence of the wujud of our Prophet Imam. So right away there is a direct link between Shab-e Qadr and our Prophet Imam. The second possible link between our Prophet Imam and this beautiful month of ours is this idea of preparation for the Imam. If we believe or if we want to achieve this idea that we are the ones who are waiting for the Imam, that we want to achieve a closeness to the Imam, that we want to be one of those that the Imam says, yes, I need him in my mission, then the very first step in this intizar, and I've mentioned this before, is ma'arifat of the Imam. You have to know who you're waiting for. And to understand how to gain this ma'arifat, we come to our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wa salam. Our sixth Imam had a companion named Zurara. And Zurara was very, very passionate about this idea of an Imam in Ghaybah. And he would ask the Imam countless questions about this zuhur, this occultation of the Imam that's going to occur centuries after. And so one day he asked our sixth Imam that for those who are waiting for this 12th Imam to appear, what is the best act to do? What is the best deed? Our sixth Imam taught him dua-e ma'rifat. Very small dua, very beautiful dua. And one that he said should be read every single day. It's online, it's in books, it's available everywhere. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma arifni nafsak. Fa'innaka in lam tu'arifni nafsak, lam a'rif rasulak. Allahumma arifni rasulak, fa'innaka in lam tu'arifni rasulak, lam a'rif hujjatak. Allahumma arifni hujjatak, fa'innaka in lam tu'arifni hujjatak, zalaltu an dini. Say, oh Allah, give me first and foremost ma'rifat of nafsik, of who you are. For if I do not have ma'rifat of who you are, I cannot give ma'rifat of your Rasul. Oh Allah, give me ma'rifat of your Rasul. If I do not have ma'rifat of your Rasul, I cannot give ma'rifat of your hujjat. Oh Allah, give me ma'rifat of your hujjat. For if I do not have ma'rifat of your hujjat, zalaltu an dini. It's very serious. I will be misguided from the path, from the religion. Yani he's equating ma'rifat of the Imam to ultimate hidayat on sirat al-mustaqim. This is how important it is to understand who the Imam is. But the thing that's interesting is that the Imam takes the concept of if you want to gain ma'rifat of the Imam, it trickles back to ma'rifat of Allah. Our third Imam, Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, was approached by a companion and he asked, what does it mean to have ma'rifat of Allah? And he says, ma'rifat of Allah is ma'rifat of the Imam of your time. Compare now. Our sixth Imam is saying ma'rifat of the Imam goes back to ma'rifat of Allah. Our third Imam is saying ma'rifat of Allah trickles down to ma'rifat of the Imam. A very real connection. The idea is, what is that loop that we have from ma'rifat of the Imam to ma'rifat of Allah? Ma'rifat may seem like a big word, it simply means to know something. And there are levels of ma'rifat. For those of you who have seen me since I'm little, your ma'rifat for me is high. If this is the first time you're seeing me, your ma'rifat for me is very small, is very little. And as you get to know somebody, your ma'rifat of them increases. And so what we need to understand is that if we have any hope of being those who are looked upon by our Imam, the very first step is to know who our Imam is. And to know our Imam is to know Allah. To know Allah is to know His words. If you want to understand somebody, and let's say they've written a book, if you read a book on them, you understand who they are a certain portion of it. What they say, what they dress, what they wear, how they talk, what they eat, what they say, how they say it. So ma'rifat of the Imam is ma'rifat of Allah. Ma'rifat of Allah is ma'rifat of the Holy Quran. Agreed? One portion of it. To understand Allah is multidimensional. One dimension is this focus on this beautiful book of ours that's been revealed in this beautiful month of ours. And Surah Baqarah, ayat number 185 that I read for you in the khutbah, says just that. الَّذِي أُنزَلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. This is the month that the Quran was revealed. For what? هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, number one. To guide us, mankind. وَبَيَّنَاتِ مِنَ الْخُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And to give us clear proof, clear evidence. For what? Number one, for guidance. And secondly, for criteria, for Furqan. Furqan means criteria of what's good and what's bad. This book was made for that purpose. And so what we need to do is, if we want to keep it as an equation and as a loop, we understand that ma'rifat of Allah trickles down to ma'rifat of the Imam, back up to Allah through the Quran. It's very simple. Ayatul Jalal Amali explains in a tafsir class that the purpose of sometimes knowing when Quran is sa'mi' is to understand Quran and nasikh. To understand a Quran that listens to you is a direct connection to understand a Quran that is a talking and walking Quran. So if we want ma'rifat of this Imam of ours, we have to understand what Quran is sami' is. Right now in this world, there is no other Quran and nasikh except for one. And that's the one that we're trying to gain ma'rifat of. And there's a direct link. And so to my youngsters, to myself, my suggestion to you, in my humble opinion, is to do what you can to become close to the Quran. And I understand there are barriers that have been that have been placed in front of you between yourself and the Quran. Not by Allah, not by Islam, by whoever, but there are barriers. You need to remove those barriers one by one, and then you'll realize that the Quran is a treasure. And that number one barrier is the language of it. So that's the Baha'i, we're not Arabic. We can barely read it properly, so they understand it. And if we're able to read it properly, there's a whole issue of tafsir now. How do I know what I'm reading is right? How can I decipher what I'm reading? Again, Ayatollah Khamenei during Ramadan has a beautiful lecture on this very topic. He says that the Quran, granted, is not meant to be understood by all. Every single one of us cannot be in the Mufassirin. There are those who do tafsir, and there are those who explain to us what the Quran is. Fine, so why should I read it then? His point is very beautiful. If you focus on a few ayahs today and you read them with the English translation or the Urdu translation or whatever translation there is, automatically this book that is brought down to us for hidayat will take you away from your everyday life and allow you to think about something above and beyond this world. And to trigger that thought inside of you is the very first step to connect yourself with the Quran. So what the Quran is doing ultimately is asking us to listen. You're involved in this cycle of I'm sleeping to eat, I'm eating to go to school, I'm going to school so I can be tired, I'm being tired so I can sleep. This rat race that I call it, the Quran sometimes takes you away from the cycle and says, look, there's something above and beyond this world that you have to understand. There's something above and great and beyond this world that you have to comprehend. That's why we understand that in the Quran, there's 6,000 plus ayat, 500 are about fiqh. 500 teach you how to pray salat, how to do wudu, how to do hukum. Everything else is to understand why you're here, what you're doing here, and where you're headed. It's to understand what your thought pattern is. It's to wake you up. It's to shake you a little bit. And make you realize that, look, this cycle that you're in is not everything. There is a whole world beyond this. So that's barrier number one of the language. It's not a barrier. It could be an excuse. I don't know what it is, but it's not a barrier. Number two, to understand the Quran, and really, I hope we have more time. I mean, the Quran is a vast topic, and it can be discussed across the entire month. Everything from its revelation to why it's a miracle, everything from its collection to this concept of do we have a different Quran than other sects of Islam. All these different subtopics kind of come about when we talk about the Holy Quran. But initially what you have to realize for my youth and for myself is that these barriers that we have in front of the Quran, remove them one by one. Blow the dust off the Quran, open it, and read it. It's not, I'm not asking you to read a whole para in one day, a whole section in one day. If you read one ayat and you ponder on it, ponder and think about what you're reading, then you'll see that your thoughts will begin to wander towards those existences that they should be wandering to. And that's what the Quran is all about, initially and essentially. And as you gain more knowledge, you understand that there is a whole tafsir belonging to every ayat. There's muhkam ayat, there's mutashabih ayat. All these ayats exist in the Quran that require a tafsir or ta'wil. But initially that barrier has to be removed. For example, if we understand the beauty of the Quran, we'll understand that this book is something that I should benefit from. So the beauty of the Quran, and again, the Rahbar says this beautifully in his speech, that the Quran is a beauty, why? It attracts every group of people. If you're a poet, the Quran is an attraction. If you're a historian, it's an attraction. If you're a storyteller, it's an attraction. If you're a scientist, an attraction. If you're a theologist, an attraction. Hatta if you're an atheist, it's an attraction for you. The Quran speaks to every level of every group of every person out there. It's a matter of us trying to find what it is in the Quran that can benefit us. Finding that, holding on to it, and making a connection between us and this ultimate book of ours is the key or one of the fundamental foundations we have in understanding Allah and eventually understanding our Iman. And one of them is this idea of why is the Quran a miracle? And again, this requires 10 madrasas at least. But very, very quickly, the miracle of the Quran is multifold. The very first thing they say in the book is that it's eloquent. And if you've read the history of Islam, you know that when the Quran was first revealed, and the Prophet used to read it at night, it's very famous that the major enemies of Islam used to come and sit out of their homes in the middle of the night, sit outside the window of the Holy Prophet, and listen to him read this Quran in his beautiful voice. And they would find two or three other individuals from the same tribe or same party. And as they were making their way back home late at night, they would say, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Oh, you're here too? And they would say to each other, if anyone found us here, Muhammad and Islam would gain. So let's make sure that come tomorrow, none of us come back here. The next night, the exact same thing happened. This attraction, this kishish, as we call it in Farsi, between us and the Quran, existed even for the enemies of that time. When the Quran was revealed, it was revealed at a time where the level of literacy and the level of poetry and the level of literature work was at a very, very high. And so we read in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 23, go home and read it. It challenges anybody that if you think that what we revealed here is false, then bring 10 surahs. Bring one surah. Bring one ayat. And the Quran goes as far as saying, pull every resource from humanity to compare one ayat of yours to one ayat of this book. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so one of the beauties of the Quran is this idea of fasahat, eloquence. The second aspect is this idea of balaghat, this idea of talking meaningful but in short phrases. Few words but meaningful words. Which is something that we should adopt as individuals as well. A lot of us talk a lot. We don't make any sense. A lot of us don't say much. We don't make a lot of sense. Our Ahlul Bayt in the Quran was number two. They spoke very little, but what they spoke was powerful. And the example that often ulama use is the second ayat of Surah Ikhlas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu Samad. Imam Hussein alayhi salam wa sallam Muhammad wa Muhammad. Imam Hussein defines Samad 10 different ways and says, by Allah, if you focus on this one ayat, that's three words, Allah, Huwa, Samad. If you can understand this one sentence, the Quran will be nothing for you. This one sentence of three words can represent the entire philosophy of the Quran. And the word Samad itself can be an ocean of discussion. And so such a book to be at our disposal, to be on our bookshelf, it's a blessing to us. And after the Inqilab of Iran, the amount of emphasis that was placed on the Quran was very high. They have a program called Shibke al-Quran. They have a whole program, a whole channel that's called the Quran channel. In there is tafasir, in there is tilawat, in there are competitions, in there are all these different things. But the idea is to really promote this concept of bringing the Quran close to us. An understanding for our youth, especially there's so many transitions out there. Online, hardcover, whatever the case may be. Build that connection you have to the Quran. Understand that there is a lot of benefit when you become part with the Quran, you've ultimately become part of Allah, and then you've gained that ma'rifat of the Iman. And then can we say, wa'ajjil farajahum, wa'ajjil farajahum. Otherwise, it's a very huge responsibility to ask for his reappearance. To keep on asking for his reappearance. To keep on asking for his reappearance. And so Allah says, are you ready? Okay, he's here now. Are you ready? And if we're not ready, then we will be one of those who are zalaltu an dini, as the dua says, misguided from the path. And one of the other aspects, very quick, just to wrap up, is this concept that the Quran is a book of science as well. It talks about concepts 1400 years ago that only now have we discovered. For example, Surah Ra'ad, ayat number 2. Go home and read the translation. It talks about gravity. Before Newton's law, it talks about gravity. It talks about the fact that we put a barrier from the sky to the earth to ensure that it does not come crashing down. And that barrier, if it goes through tafasir, is this concept of gravity. The other aspect is this idea that it existed during a time of ignorance. Here you have people burying girls alive, and here you had Surah An-Nisa. Here you had the concept of starting wars and shedding blood for no apparent reason, and here you had individuals and ayah talking about peace amongst brothers and submission and qalb al-saleem and all these things. Here you have this concept of worship, worshiping idols, creating idols with your own hands, then worshiping them. And here you have Allahu Samad. So this idea, this concept of the Quran arriving and being received in a time of ignorance is the fundamental reason why it has to come from a source other than anything in this world. And once we've established within ourselves that this Quran is a miracle and a word of Allah, again, one barrier now is removed again. So within 3 or 4 minutes, we've removed 3 or 4 barriers. And you inch closer and closer to the Quran. And eventually what you have is the entire month you spend 4 or 5 ayahs every single day. And before you know it, you'll be able to even remember what the Quran says. And maybe even quote it sometimes during a conversation. Like Jinnah al-Fizna did. Like other individuals did who are surrounded by the Ahlul Bayt. And so this month of ours that is upon us now, alhamdulillah, is a huge blessing for us. And like I told you, we have 29 days. And every day that goes by is one less day that we have. And set goals for yourself. For example, this morning I set myself a goal that I'm going to be part of the Quran. I'm going to memorize certain parts of the Quran. I'm going to understand the concepts of the Quran. I'm going to understand certain ayats that I've always wanted to understand. Why is it in the Quran? Why is it this way? Why isn't it that way? That's a goal that I put upon myself. And inshallah, I'll achieve it. Do yourself that same concept. Do not make this Ramadan a 29-day hunger strike, please. And do not make this a good weight loss plan for you. This is far, far more. If you want to shed pounds on anything, shed pounds on your sins. If you want to lighten everything, lighten your soul. In the process, if you lose a few pounds in your body, alhamdulillah, great. But the focus should be, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So on a day when nothing will benefit you, not your mom, not your children, nothing will benefit us on the day of judgment. Not the car we drive, not the kids that we raise, unfortunately. What will benefit us? قلب السليم. This existence of a salim existence. And that comes from these types of blessings and these types of months where Allah has said, I'll help you achieve that goal. I'll chain everything away. Just come to me. And be those muqarribun. That's what Surah Waqiyah talked about, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala So this month of ours is upon us. Give us tawfiq and give us the understanding to completely benefit from this month, inshallah. We ask Allah to accept the forgiveness that we're going to beg you for, inshallah. We ask Allah to give us ma'arifat of our imam. And we ask Allah, please, to hasten the reappearance of our imam if we are doing anything to slow down that reappearance. Then ya Allah, forgive our sins initially, and secondly, give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.